There are so many sources of horror that it is difficult to choose which one to consider after any given loss. The Ringer's Claire McNear wrote that about the recently mighty San Francisco Giants, and that's where we're going to start on this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know. I am joined by Claire and by Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much.
Claire, please tell us how you really feel.
Oh, the Giants are so bad. I should disclose that I'm a Giants fan, so this hits me hard. But they are so bad. The pitching is bad. The hitting is bad. The fielding is bad. Everything is bad. They're the second worst team in baseball. They're on track for their first 100 loss season in 30 years, and I'd be shocked if they don't make it there. Sixth worst ERA in the league. Fifth lowest batting average. You know, but isn't this the team that just won 3 World Series in 5 years? Weren't the Giants the best team in baseball through the first half of 2016? So I've got 2 questions for you guys out of my own personal desperation. You know, how does a team get so bad so fast? And if you're the Giants, what do you do to turn things around? How can you be the best team in baseball a year ago and then be this just garbage fire?
Well, life certainly comes at you fast. A year ago yesterday, I was in San Francisco with my children on vacation, and we went to a Giants game, and my kids asked me if the Giants were good. I said, "You're looking at the best team in baseball right now." That was a year ago yesterday. So that's, yeah, pretty scary. But unfortunately for the Giants, you just don't have any easy solutions. And they've lost their ace, Madison Bumgarner, with a dirt bike accident because, you know, obviously you can predict that sort of thing. It's just one of the things about baseball. It's cyclical. You can be a wonderful, wonderful team, and then all of a sudden Father Time taps you on the shoulder and says, no, no more.
Well, of course, I grew up in the New York area rooting for the New York Giants before they moved to San Francisco. And I think I have to agree with you, Craig, that this is cyclical, except for the Yankees of the late 40s, all the 50s, most of the 60s, who were not cyclical, who just won everything every year. I feel very bad, though, for Willie Mays, because he's still going to spring training, still obviously identifies with the Giants, and a fellow of his years should not have to go through this, I think, this sort of slump.
I agree.
Claire, you want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, I mean, nobody should feel too bad for the Giants. They've had more than their fair share of success recently, but I think it's sort of a cautionary tale for championship teams, maybe.
I understand that we are going to continue to talk baseball on this segment, which is great because it's not quite as good as talking soccer, but I'll take my pleasures where I can. Craig, you're up.
On Thursday morning, the Atlanta Braves designated Bartolo Colon for assignment, which is a precursor to him being released. There's a pretty good chance that he's going to sign very soon with another team and will still play in 2017, but my guess is this is going to be his last year. Colon turned 44 in May. That's pretty old for a ball player. I turned 44 on July 14th. That means Bartolo Colon is the last baseball player older than me still going in this game. It's weird. I don't have a problem with getting older, but there's something about baseball and being a baseball fan to where I've always marked the time with the age of players. I still remember who the youngest player was the first time there was a player younger than me, actually, in Major League Baseball. It was Ismael Valdez. You watch the guys who are your age leave the game. Nomar Garcia-Para, Todd Helton, all these guys now younger than me or my age leaving baseball. Every one of us is going to have somebody. Some of us might already have had lots of somebodies that are younger than us retire. But it definitely tells you about how the game doesn't stop for anybody and Father Time is undefeated.
I just want to know if when Ismael Valdez showed up for his first day in the major leagues, he said, "Call me Ismael."
He's got it, right?
That's the most NPR baseball comment ever.
Claire, what do you think? You worried about the aging out of ball players?
I mean, I'm sad to see Bartolo go. He's been just such a delight the last few years, and he kind of became this fan favorite only in his last few years. The weird thing about that is that it's not only because of his age, but there's a sort of weird element to the fact that he doesn't speak English super well, or he doesn't do it in public very much, and he's not active on social media. So really, he's kind of been this silent fan favorite for a lot of the fans who've championed him. And he's become this sort of like GIF machine on the internet. And it's not clear that he's like a willing participant there.
Athletes get admired or scorned for all sorts of reasons besides performance. performance on the field, a funny thing that they've said, an unusual body shape, political preference, whatever it might be. Baseball is entertainment. Cologne was certainly entertaining to watch, especially when he hit. And he will be missed, no question.
I think the best thing to take away from this is getting old is wonderful if for no other reason than people forget your old misgivings. Bartolo Colon was a performance-enhancing drugs offender. He has had some personal scandal in his personal life. But if you're pitching at 44, everybody forgets that. You just become lovable and cuddly.
All right, we're going to move on to another sport, or maybe this is really a conversation about all sports. John McEnroe recently rekindled the discussion about how the best female athletes would fare against the best males. And in response to a question, he said, Serena Williams is the best female tennis player of all time, and there's nobody I know who would disagree. When he was asked why he had qualified that judgment with female, McEnroe suggested that about 700 male players would beat Serena Williams. Meanwhile, Josh Jackson, recently drafted by the NBA's Phoenix Suns, and Diana Taurasi, the WNBA's all-time leading scorer, both threw out ceremonial first pitches at recent Diamondback games. The catcher had to jump up and run after Jackson's throw. Taurasi threw one over the plate shoulder high. So does my example provoke either of you to enter into the debate about what happens when a great female athlete competes against a great male athlete? Or are you both too smart to get into that debate at all?
I mean, I just can't believe that this keeps following Serena. She's got 23 Grand Slams, and no man has ever competed at that level, ever. And, I mean, Federer has, I think, 18. And it's just, you can't have this conversation. It's absurd.
I think it's odd that guys like John McEnroe get press for pointing out things like, I don't know, sexual dimorphism, which is a thing. Sorry, it just is. And that's fine. But that's meaningless when we're talking about athletes, when we're talking about accomplishments, as you mentioned. I don't understand why it's so important for someone like John McEnroe to make a point like that, as opposed to just noting how amazingly awesome and dominant Serena Williams has been, or any other athlete, male or female. It's the least interesting thing you could possibly say about Serena Williams, that she's a woman, because we all know it. So, you know, viva 58-year-old guys making press for saying kind of boorish things. It's going to happen all the time. But personally, I'd rather focus on just how amazing Serena Williams is.
The other thing that happened when I read this story was I remembered this event that I covered out in Chicago years ago. It had to do with teams of athletes, and they had to climb tall buildings and ride bicycles and find their way through the woods and do all sorts of other things in and around Chicago. And the teams that were made up of women and men together did much better than the all-male teams, and they also did much better than the all-female teams. And so, recognizing that tennis would become exclusively a double sport, I present a model for the future. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that my official stance is that women are good and men are also good, and great athletes also good.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports and Claire McNear of The Ringer. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill.